Christ has made me free, and I will not become subject again to bondage of the law. Amen.
Hello, and welcome to Living God's Way, coming to you from the Germantown Christian Assembly in the Mount Airy section of Philadelphia. In an age when many are abandoning Christian values, Pastor Brian Grant's expository preaching from the timeless Word of God will remind us that the best way to live is to live God's way. Over the previous few weeks, we have been listening to Pastor Brian Grant bring his series of messages on the Holy Spirit. We have heard what it means to live in the Spirit. We have heard how the Holy Spirit works in salvation and what He has accomplished on behalf of the believer the moment that believer trusted Christ as Savior. This evening, in the final message in this series, Pastor Grant will take as his main text the fifth chapter of the book of Galatians, where the Apostle Paul lays out the characteristic fruits that the Holy Spirit intends to actively produce in the life of every true believer in Jesus Christ, characteristics that describe what it means to walk in the Spirit. So we invite you to open your Bibles and follow along as we listen to Pastor Grant's message entitled, Walking in the Spirit. Here now is Pastor Grant.
A preacher was winding up his sermon with great emotion. And he said, if I had all the beer in the world, I'd take it and throw it in the river. Crowd shouted, amen, pastor, throw it into the river. The pastor continued, if I had all the wine in the world, I'd take it and I'd throw it in the river. The crowd said, amen, pastor, throw it into the river. The pastor said, if I had all the whiskey and all the rum in the world, I'd take it and I'd throw it into the river. They said, amen, throw it into the river. The pastor finished his message, and the head deacon stood up and announced, for our closing hymn, let's sing hymn 126, We Shall Gather at the River. Have you noticed there is a struggle between the flesh and the spirit? I don't know about you, but I can tell you personally, I have come to realize since I've been a Christian that there is sometimes a struggle between the spirit and the flesh. Paul in Romans chapter 7 described it for us when he said, the good that I want to do, what did he say? I don't do, and the evil I don't want to do, that's exactly what I do. Am I the only person here who has experienced that struggle? But in Galatians chapter 5 verse 16, Paul writes, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. And I think that's good news because it tells me that victory is available. Amen? Amen? Last week I spoke to you about the work of the Holy Spirit before salvation. And today I want to speak about the work of the Holy Spirit after salvation. And to be honest, if I had planned better, I realize this could have been a 4 or 5 week series. But don't worry, God is going to let us come back to the parts that I'm missing. Because all we have time for this morning is to talk about walking in the Spirit. And I believe that one of the important aspects of the work of the Holy Spirit after salvation is to help us to actually walk in the Spirit, because when we walk in the Spirit, we will not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. Let me first give you 3 prerequisites to walking in the Spirit. The first thing I want to notice here is that we must live in the liberty Christ provided. We must live in the liberty Christ provided. Here is an important fact that every Christian needs to grasp. Christ has liberated us from the law. I don't want you to ever forget that. Christ has liberated us from the law. In Galatians chapter 5 verse number 1, it says, stand fast therefore in the liberty by which Christ has made us free, and do not be entangled again with a yoke of bondage. The book of Galatians was written to correct a major error that was going on. Some Jews were teaching the new Gentile Christians in Galatia that now that they were saved, they were required to keep the Old Testament law. These Jews believed, stay with me now, these Jews believed that Paul's teaching of grace and liberty in Christ was dangerous. You say, why in the world would they question the teaching of the Apostle Paul on grace? You see, they believed that if a Christian was not required to keep the law, they would have no restraints, and without rules, they would go wild and they would live wicked lives. The only thing keeping them on track as far as they were concerned was the rules, the law. And if you don't keep the law, you'd be in trouble. You know that type of thinking is still with us? Do you know there are still churches who emphasize the law? Do you know there are still legalists in some churches who make up all type of rules? I don't think there's still, some have changed, a little modified. But when I was a little boy growing up in Jamaica, there were churches where people had a ruler to measure how your dress length to see if it was an appropriate dress length. Oh, we had all sorts of rules. That's why the idea, I believe, that you can lose your salvation is somewhat so common. Because once we have made up our rules, and I don't know why religious people love rules. By the way, we better be careful, you know, because I'm coming up with a series in September on the Reformation. Because one of the things, as we traveled in France the other day, I couldn't help but realize how Christianity had become another religion just based on rules. And being a Christian meant making sure you told the line and kept the rules. But I'm here this morning to tell you, Christianity is not a religion, it's a relationship. It's not based on keeping a lot of rules. Now, we're going to deal with this because you're, sooner or later you're going to say, are you telling me that we don't, the law has been done away with? And we're going to get there. But what you need to realize that it's not about keeping rules. Once we make up our rules, then we tell people, if you don't keep the rules, you will lose your salvation, because that's how you motivate them to make sure they keep the rules. But that's not Bible. The Apostle Paul says, stand therefore in the liberty. Somebody ought to say amen. Stand in the liberty. Christ has made us free. You see, when you live, we're talking about walking in the Spirit. And if you try to live your Christian life by following rules and following the law, you are not walking in the Spirit. Did you ever realize that one way to make sure you're not walking in the Spirit is to try to follow the law? Because if you're trying to follow the law, you're actually using the flesh, because it is the flesh. You are depending on your success in human effort as to how good you can keep the law. So instead of walking in the Spirit, you're actually walking in the flesh. I like how New Living Translation puts Galatians chapter 5 verse 1. And here's what it says. It's right here on the board for you. So Christ has truly set us, what? Free. Now make sure that you, what? Stay free. And don't get tied up again in slavery to the law. Did you get it? Christ has set us free, so let's not get tied up again in slavery to the law. Try a Christian, listen to this. A Christian trying to keep the law is comparable to an adult climbing back into the crib. Oh, I know some of you would like to go back in the crib. I can't fit. But you see, the crib is a very comfortable place. The crib is a place you don't have to make no decisions. Somebody makes all the decisions for you. Somebody feeds you. You don't even have to choose your meal. Everything is done for you. Do you realize there are Christians who really like churches where they have rules? Do you realize that there are Christians who do not like liberty? You said, are you for real? There are Christians who don't like liberty. There are Christians who prefer an environment where the pastor tells them what to do, what to wear, when to come to church. He makes all the decisions, or she makes all the decisions. But if that's what you're looking for, this is the wrong church, because I ain't gonna tell you what to do. Walk in the what? In the Spirit. Walk in the Spirit. Don't try climbing back into the crib. Now let's be clear. The law is still good. In fact, Romans chapter 7 verse 12 states that the law is holy and the commandment is holy. So nothing is wrong with the law. It's not that the law is bad, but God knows that we human beings will never fulfill His holy standards of the law. We will never do it as long as we're still in this flesh. We will never do it, no matter how hard we try. So Galatians chapter 5 verse 17 says, for the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. My brother and sister, when you got saved, are you still with me? If you're with me, say amen. Amen. When you got saved, that old nature, that sinful nature, that flesh, what the Bible calls the flesh. The flesh is that old sinful nature. The flesh never went anywhere. And so what has happened is that old nature still exists. The Spirit of God comes to live in you. And now there is this battle royal between the Spirit and the flesh. And the Bible says, the apostle says, under the authority of God, he says, you cannot do the things that you would like to do. God knows you will never be able to keep the law. So thank God he has come up with a better plan. And the better plan is walk in the Spirit.
Stay tuned for the conclusion of today's broadcast. To help with your personal walk with God, Pastor Grant has made available printed outlines of today's message with all the scriptures referenced. For your copy, please visit our website, livinggodsway.org, that's livinggodsway.org, or call our office at 215-242-5550. Once again, 215-242-5550. And now, let's return to Pastor Grant for the conclusion of today's message.
Now, we might realize it. Sometimes when we hear about the law, we think of the Ten Commandments, but there are actually about 613 commandments in the Old Testament. Did you realize that? 613. And if we broke just one, we'd be guilty of breaking the whole thing. Imagine you were pulled over by a policeman for breaking a red light. The policeman asks for your license and you respond, officer, I know I broke the light, but I've never robbed anybody. I've not even stolen a cookie from my mother. You say, I've never committed adultery. I've never cheated on my income tax. Would that really matter? Would the policeman be impressed? You see, the fact that you were so good at keeping the law, although you may have lied because you probably did steal a pencil. The fact that you were so good at keeping other laws did not matter. You had broken the law, because this simple thing of a traffic light, you had broken it. You were guilty of breaking the law. And God knows that no matter how good we are, there is no way we were going to keep all 613. Is there anybody who will agree with me? And so this morning, I'm so glad that I am not asked by God to keep the 613 laws. I'm so glad that this morning I'm standing in the liberty wherewith Christ has made me free, and I will not become subject again to bondage of the law. Amen? Amen. We have liberty in Jesus Christ. Galatians chapter 5 verse 16, he tells us, walk in the Spirit and you'll not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. You see, this is his way. The way God has designed, listen, God still expects a believer to maintain the holy standards. It's not that he doesn't want you and I to live a holy life. We will. His objective is that we live the holy life and that we meet the standards, the holy standards of the law. But we meet the holy standards of the law, not by trying to keep the law. We meet the standards, his holy standards, by walking in the Spirit. And the Spirit of God gives us the ability to do that. So in verse number 18 of chapter 5 of Galatians, he said, I say then, walk in the Spirit, verse 18. But if you are led by the Spirit, you're what? You're not under the law. You got it? If you're led by the Spirit, you will end up maintaining God's holy standards, but you're not under the law. You're not trying to get there by keeping the law, because that way you'll never get there. But if you're led by the Spirit, you're not under the law. Praise the Lord. But secondly, as we talk about the prerequisites for walking in the Spirit, not only do we have freedom in Christ, but secondly, we must not pervert liberty for license. We must not pervert liberty for license. And so in Galatians chapter 5, verse 13, he says, for you brothers have been called to liberty, only do not use liberty as an opportunity to serve the flesh. It appears that some people in Galatia took the position that since they were not under the law, they could do whatever they jolly well wanted to. Are you with me? They had perverted liberty. What is license? License, the false thinking that liberty means we can indulge the sinful nature as we please. These people were probably arguing like this. We love to sin and God loves to forgive, so we'll keep sinning to give God more opportunity to forgive. We're going to help God out. We love sin, he loves to forgive. Let's make a deal. We'll do the sin. He'll do the forgiving. Doesn't that sound crazy? You better believe that's a crazy way to think. But I'm here to tell you that that sort of mindset is still in the church today. I still hear people saying that since I am saved, no matter what I do, I will still go to heaven anyhow. Have you ever heard that? And I hear others say, I can always sin and ask for forgiveness because God is always willing to forgive. Boy, I tell you, these are some questions that put preachers in a box. Because, you know, people ask you these questions. And the truth of the matter is, if you're truly saved, there's only one place you can go, is heaven. Amen? The problem is that more often than not, the person who is thinking that way, they only believe they're saved. They're not really saved. We're going to come to that in a moment. In fact, if you don't mind, turn in your Bibles to Romans chapter 6, verse 1 and 2. Let's look at Romans chapter 6 to see what the Word of God says. Because listen, you can come to church all you want. You can kneel on the morning bench all you want. We don't have one here. You can do whatever you want. You can sing and shout and spin around as much as you want. But listen, unless you're regenerated by the Spirit of God, unless you're born again, you are not one of those who belong to Jesus. And the problem is there are too many individuals who think they belong to Jesus because they've joined a good church, but there's absolutely no work of grace that has been done in their heart. And I'm hoping and praying that this morning the Spirit of God will challenge each of us to make sure that we are really in the faith. The reason why some people seem to backslide is because they never ever forward slid. You understand what I'm talking about? Romans chapter 6 verse 1. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Shall we keep on sinning to give God an opportunity? And the Apostle Paul says, what? Certainly not. How shall we who died to sin live any longer in it? You see, what the Apostle Paul is trying to get across is the moment you were born again, you were regenerated, the Spirit of God came to live within you. Last week, and if you weren't here last week, try and get a copy of the message or watch it on TV. But listen, at salvation, we were regenerated. We were given a brand new nature. We were made part of the body of Christ. Remember, we talked about that last week. We said at salvation, we were made part of a brand new race. Go back and check it out. We were made part of a brand new race. A tremendous change happened at salvation. And the Apostle Paul is saying, how can we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? The very fact that beating in your breast is such a strong desire to keep sinning, something is wrong. 1 John chapter 3 verse 9. Here's what it says in 1 John chapter 3 verse 9. It says, those who have been born into God's family do what? Can you see it on the board? Do not make a practice of sinning because God's life is in them. I really sometimes are burdened when I run into so many Christians who claim to be saved but feel comfortable in sin. Never forget verse 14 of Galatians 5, verse 24 rather. Those who are Christ's have crucified the flesh. Do you see that? Don't dare pervert liberty with license. Don't you dare. Those who are Christ's have crucified the flesh. Listen, if you are a child of God, you have crucified the flesh. You have recognized, and it's almost as if you're saying, God, Lord Jesus, I am nailing myself to that cross. You, I belong to you. Look, now I belong to Jesus. If the Spirit of God lives in you, you won't be able to practice sin and be comfortable.
My friend, Jesus loves you so much that if you were the only person in the whole world, he would have died just for you. No matter what you have done, Jesus wants to save you. He wants to forgive you today. You say, Pastor Grant, what do I need to be saved? You simply need to trust the Lord Jesus, repent of your sin, and turn to him. You may pray a simple prayer like this. Dear God, I'm a sinner and need your forgiveness. Thank you that Jesus died for my sins. Please cleanse me from all my sin. I receive Jesus Christ into my heart as my personal Savior and Lord. Please help me to live for you from this day forward. Amen. And my friend, if you pray a simple prayer like that and mean it, God will hear you and he will answer your prayer and he will save you. I hope you'll do that right now.
Thanks for tuning in today. If you received Christ, or if this program was a blessing, it would be a great encouragement to hear from you. You may call us at 215-887-4750 or visit our website, livinggodsway.org. That's livinggodsway.org. And remember to ask for our daily devotional, The Word for You Today. We'd also invite your partnership in this life-changing ministry. Gifts can be made through our website or by writing to us at 610 East Mount Pleasant Avenue, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19119. The address again is 610 East Mount Pleasant Avenue, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19119. We invite you to join us for worship this Sunday at 10:45 a.m. It will certainly be a pleasure to meet you. Now, until next week, on behalf of Pastor Grant and our entire church family, this is Steve Washington reminding you that there's no better way to live than to live God's way.